Welcome to PCMC. I'm Mike Bongiorno. I'm here today with my good friend and yours, Mr. Anthony Bongiorno.
Hello, everyone.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Wouldn't it be funny if I pronounced your name differently?
Yeah. I was thinking you called me your good friend.
Yeah. You're also
just a friend.
You're my brother. You're my brother for as long as your life, not mine, though.
Huh. Never thought of that.
Yeah. I mean, you and I are white, so this... We shouldn't complain about this. I'm sure this is worse with people who are of Asian descent. But does it bother you how, like, when people try to say your name, they just give up? Like, so often I get, like, Bongiorno, and it's like, you're adding stuff that's not there. Yeah, you just looked at the first three letters, and you like, I'll go with something.
Yeah.
Or I've heard, like, Bon Jovi. It's like, no, where are you getting...
Bon Jovi does spell his name. The real spelling of Bon Jovi is very similar to ours.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's B-O-N-G-I-O-V-I.
Well, he's a good New Jersey boy.
He's a good New Jersey boy. Yeah, no, I've gotten all sorts of things. Bonagura. I get a lot of Bongiorno. Bongiorno. It's like, what? I don't want to know where that comes from.
Who knows? But again, Pajama. How much worse is this for people of Asian descent? Anyway, it's so hard to be a white guy, am I right? Thank God we have podcasts.
Welcome to Joe Rogan, everyone.
Anyway... No, this is
we're here in Austin.
No, this is PCMC coming to you from New York City.
I feel like we need the burr, doo, doo, doo,
doo. You are the most devious bastard in New York City. No, this is a podcast that practices a non-toxic fandom. We don't do the bad, you know, the bad things. We're not them.
We don't talk about this depressing, disappointing things.
Yeah. So this is a fully, this is a raging, stiff fully episode.
Oh, God.
So we are going to do news, we're going to do trailers, we're going to do chill session where we just talk about whatever. And then Anthony's going to cough a lot.
I'm going to cough a lot. Sorry.
Listeners of the show know this is the time of year. This is, Anthony's sick about 10, 11 months of the year. And so this is real the heart of the time where he's going to be.
I have the immune system of a tiny baby.
of a small rat.
it's also doing that. It's that at that point where like I'm talking and like in the middle of a word I'll go like,
yeah,
like it's just the absolute worst.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's great for podcasting.
It's great for podcasting.
Then we'll do our current obsessions later on. Of course, this news is entertainment and pop culture news. We are not talking about the real.
No, we're not talking about the real news. Once again, we don't talk about things that are depressing and disappointing.
We don't talk about let this whatever this is going to be hour or 20 minutes. Yeah. Be a little bit of a respite.
We don't talk about Bruno.
We don't talk about bad things. So I figured I'm going to start off with a news story that means a lot to me and means zero to you.
Okay.
They're making a new He-Man movie. He-Man and the Masters of the Universe.
This a cartoon?
You might know him from my tattoo.
Yeah, I do know from. Wasn't this a cartoon that was just...
That's not this.
Oh, there's something else now.
This is a live action movie.
Okay.
So I want to read to you the cast. Again, this might be nothing to you if you don't know the characters, but some you know enough in pop culture, because there's one here that when I saw it, I messaged our dear friend Emilio Sparks and said, I don't want to live anymore.
Oh, no. Don't say Chris Pratt.
No. So Nicholas Galtzine is He-Man. Did you see Bottoms?
Yes.
You know the black haired jock who's like, I fucked your mom, and he fucked the girl's mom?
Yes.
And he's He-Man.
Oh, okay. That's an interesting choice.
There's already pictures of him with blonde hair and he's bulking up. I think he'll be good because he's a good looking guy. He's good in that movie. He's not a big name, but I think he'd be fine as He-Man.
I'm surprised they didn't go for a bigger name.
Well, wait till things get worse. Camila Mendez is Teela. That's He-Man's like best friend. I'm not really sure what she's from.
Oh, this guy's hot. I know exactly. Yeah, he's who this hot. Is. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's okay, that makes guy. Sense. Yeah.
Ready? Evil-Lyn.
Uh-huh.
Once played by the great Meg Foster, is being played by Allison Brie from Community.
Oh, that's fun.
And Glow.
Yeah, I like her.
I still think of her as little Annie Adderall. So I always think of her as like so sweet, and this is such a like a sultry, you know, succubus kind of character. But I'm for it.
Yeah, I think that sounds good.
I think she'd be great. Man at Arms is being played by Idris Elba.
Hot.
Talk about a stacked cast of hotties.
Sexy.
Of course, he was white in the cartoon, so I do protest this movie. I won't see it. not my He-Man. Hashtag not my man at all.
No, you're like, we're not remaking Sanford and Sons with white people.
Yeah, those.
That's what you said off mic. Yeah. Earlier.
But no, actually, this is great. Idris Elba is great.
He's amazing.
I hope he brings the same seriousness and gravitas he's brought to playing the fucking bad guy in the Sonic movies.
Yeah.
To playing.
Don't forget he was also in Cats, the movie that caused the pandemic.
Yes. But here's the real problem we're getting to right now. Skeletor.
Okay.
It's played by Jared Leto.
Ugh. I'm out. I hate Jared Leto so much.
I don't like him.
Who likes him?
He, how many times does the man have to fail before we go, let's not give him?
Yeah, I mean, sucks.
He wildly flailed and failed at playing the Joker.
Yeah, oh yeah.
A classic pop culture
horrible,
villain.
Horrible.
So why do that exact thing again and have him play Skeletor?
It's the cheekbones. It's the bone structure.
I guess.
Speaking of the pandemic, remember when he was like in a he was like at a crazy like retreat where he was like off the grid and then came out in the middle of the pandemic and was like, what's been going on, man?
I don't remember
that. Yeah, that was he did that. He did that really annoying thing.
He recently had Morbius, which was a gigantic failure.
Mm. He's just
I don't hate the guy.
I'm sure I do.
Okay. I don't like his performances.
I don't like anything he's ever done or been in.
I don't, yeah.
He was in American Psycho.
He was okay as the Hatbox Ghost in Haunted Mansion.
Oh, I forgot that.
And if it's that level of artifice on top of him, then maybe we'll be fine. But Skeletor, I don't know. You think about how fucking great Frank Langella was.
Now that we're, this is slightly off topic, but you made me think of it. Now that we have distance between us and the last Haunted Mansion movie. Where are you at? You still like it?
I still like it, but I like it. My lover is as tepid as it was when it came out.
Of the three Haunted Mansion adaptations.
What are the three?
There's the Eddie Murphy one, there's the Muppets, and then
the Muppets. Sorry, you're right. I guess Muppets is probably the most fun, really.
Yeah.
They
just couldn't get it right.
Yeah, I think that it's the tone. They keep getting the tone wrong. They go too far into fun family, and I think it needs jokes for sure, but it needs to have some genuine scariness to it.
Yeah. I think this latest one had some scariness.
It got there. It's better than the Eddie Murphy one, for sure. Yeah, I've watched it, I think, twice or whatever. It's good. I like Lakeith Stanfield.
I love him, yeah.
But
is there anyone else in this cast?
No, but then there's rumors that... See, I actually said to myself, Mike, this is it. This is your test. This is where you test your mettle. Because when the 2016 Ghostbusters happened, I was for it. I'm still for it. I like that movie. I feel like there's honest criticisms against it, but a lot of it is sexism. I'm for The Last Jedi. I like what they did with Luke. But I'm starting to hear these things about the He-Man movie that are making me go, oh, that is not good.
Oh, no.
But
is this like a men's rights activist movie?
No.
Or will it be co-opted by them?
No, I don't think it's political, but I think how I'm equating it to those other things is, you know, like guys my age tend to feel like they own pop culture, especially pop culture created in the 80s. Like the guys, whenever they make a new Ninja Turtles, they're like, this is wrong, right? Yeah, yeah. And I always mock them. Mm-hmm. As I'm hearing more about this He-Man movie, I'm thinking it's wrong, but what will happen is I won't protest it. I won't be angry. I'll simply go, not for me.
Right. Because you don't like to hate things you like.
And yes, and just choose indifference. I can't be radicalized by a fucking He-Man movie. But like, there's a rumor that they're completely changing his origin and he's going to be from Earth and like, kind of like Flash Gordon, go to Eternia and become He-Man instead of just being born there.
Okay.
Just huge differences in the narrative. But you know, look, if it starts to look bad, then, you know, it's just not for me.
Yeah.
And that's fine. Not everything's for me.
That's non-toxic fandom.
That's what that is. Because there are things to be mad about, and it's not this stuff. So what else is in the news? Oh, a bunch of stuff. As you know, it's January 2025. A bunch of stuff just hit the public domain.
Ooh.
Where public domain, if you don't know, is material that was copyrighted, but they're, whatever the fuck it is now, 95 years is up, and now no one owns them and anyone can use them. Like what happened a year or two ago with the Steamboat Willie version of Mickey.
Yeah.
So there's a bunch of stuff. I might have a list somewhere, but there's two big ones. But where's my list? Okay, yeah, new works entering the public domain. I actually think this is going to be a thing, exciting thing every year now, because we're getting into like sound film and things that are more culturally still relevant.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I mean, there's always things that come to the public domain, but like 10 years ago, you'd be like, oh, Phillips Jolly, the 1918.
Yeah, I guess I never thought of that.
You'd be like, oh, that doesn't do anything for me. But you're starting to see more relevant things to us. Some stuff that's entered. The novel The Sound and the Fury by William Faulkner.
Okay.
Farewell to Arms by Ernest Hemingway.
Okay.
The Maltese Falcon by Dashiell Hammett. Sorry. A Cup of Gold by John Steinbeck. These are just the books. All Quiet on the Western Front, Tarzan and the Lost Empire by Edgar Rice Burroughs, Jack Pumpkinhead of Oz by Ruth Plumly Thompson.
Yeah, Ruth Plumly Thompson. Yeah.
I thought he wrote all those.
No, a bunch of people, after he died, a bunch of people took over.
So some films, The Broadway Melody.
The what?
The Broadway Melody.
Okay.
Well, The Galloping Gaucho, which is another Mickey short, a later Mickey short.
Okay.
The Coconuts, which is the first Marx Brothers film. The Skeleton Dance, which is a Disney animated film.
A very popular one.
Musical compositions, An American in Paris. Let's see.
Is that like one big one?
There's two big ones. The two big ones are Popeye.
Oh.
And Tintin. Okay. And Popeye's more of a big one.
Yeah.
Popeye. And already there's...
A Popeye horror movie?
Yeah,
a
Popeye horror movie.
Why do they always go horror first?
You know, that's just shaking off the shackles of of copyright. You know, that's always the first instinct to just go in the exact 180 opposite direction of what it was. But after that, I think it gets better things happen.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's we got Popeye now in the public domain.
Oh, that's cool.
I'm a fan of the Popeye motion picture.
I was just going to say, the Popeye movie is a cult classic.
We got to do an episode
really
on that.
It's really good.
We got to do an episode on the
Popeye. John Altman's movie. Popeye.
Robert Altman.
Robert Altman, excuse me. His brother.
Yes.
John had nothing to do with it.
Let's see. All right, let's go to trailers, unless you have any news.
I don't have any news.
Okay. The first trailer we're looking at is Superman.
Yep.
Which is the rebooted Superman film. The first Superman film in the new... DC Cinematic Universe. We've gotten rid of the Snyderverse, the Zack Snyder world. Yeah. Now we're moving into the James Gunn world. He's the one who did Guardians of the Galaxy and stuff. Mm-hmm. And this is the first trailer for his Superman film.
Okay, what do you think?
I think it gets the tone of Superman right. Again, going back to what I was just saying, like I really didn't like Man of Steel, but I didn't become radicalized by it. Mm-hmm. It was, to me... The idea was Superman's very heroic and optimistic. What if we make him not those things?
Right.
So that's an idea to... That's a way... I mean, it's similar to like what happened with Luke Skywalker. I think it worked with Luke Skywalker. Didn't work with Superman because I feel like optimism is kind of the whole thing.
Yeah.
I think you could bend something to the point where you break it and then it's not that thing.
Yeah. Superman's an interesting one. And I know you're way more familiar with him than I am. But I feel like when I think of Superman, I'm like... What if America were a man who was also Jesus?
Yes.
And that's Superman.
Right. Yeah.
And I feel like the stuff about him being an alien, not that it wasn't there originally.
Yeah.
But that it was secondary to like, here's this guy who could do anything who's in red, white, and blue.
Right. That's just his origin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I actually, after watching this trailer, I watched the trailers to Man of Steel and Superman Returns again. Yeah. Because I was just like, oh, these movies were made 2 years ago. And I was like, oh my God. Like,
no, they're made very
Superman Returns was 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And the trailer for Superman Returns, it is so Jesus-y.
Oh, yeah. It's super, he's super like, Jesus. He's in the sky.
Yeah. And then the voice is like, their capability for good. They have a capability for good, but I sent you, I'm going to send them you, my only son, right, to guide them. And I was like, oh my God.
Right, right.
I like that movie.
I do too. No one involved with it is problematic.
Yeah, not at all. I think this looks good, this new one.
Yeah, so like I said, I didn't like Man of Steel. So I think this is a course correction for me. It feels like Superman. Superman is nice. He's nice. it's optimistic. You know, the alien stuff, when it is addressed in the comics and stuff, is sometimes focused as like a immigrant narrative.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
like a very positive immigrant narrative of like, this is a person.
Remember those?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, this is a person who came here. He was in a bad place. He's a refugee. He came from a place that was destroyed. And he came and lived our values and loves us and protects us.
I don't mean to get too political, but you just reminded me, we went recently on a trip, and we were in Montreal, and there's a statue in Montreal of an ode to the immigrant, mm-hmm. or it's like an honor of the immigrant, and it's like a really beautiful sculpture, and we both were looking at it, and we were like, remember when people used to, like, when the immigrant story was a hero's journey?
Yeah.
Remember that? Remember those days? That is so not where we are culturally now. Yeah.
But we should have a giant statue based on immigration
in our like, it was just in the culture.
Yeah,
like, this is a nation of immigrants.
Right.
Yeah. Oh boy. Anyway.
Right. I love the trunks. I love that he has the trunks. He looks like TV Superman. I like that it has Crypto in it.
Yeah, he's adorable.
Who doesn't love an adorable dog?
Is this the first time Crypto's ever been on film?
I think it is his first time in a movie, a live action movie.
He's adorable.
Yeah, he's great.
I love that he can drag Superman.
Yes. And he has a little cape himself.
So is he from Krypton?
Yeah.
Adorable.
He came with him. it seems like the tone is right. Like, it seems, which is what makes Guardians of the Galaxy good, right? It's fun and funny without being parodic.
Yeah.
Without making fun of the thing and saying we're better and smarter than the thing, we are still having fun with it and being like, but we appreciate what the thing is.
You know what I liked is that they used the John Williams theme, which was they eschewed in the Zack Snyder one.
Right.
Well,
because the feeling has changed on that. The feeling was that was the John Williams theme was from the Richard Donner movies with Christopher Reeve. And if you wanted to make your own Superman movie and make your own thing, then you couldn't have that theme. Mm-hmm.
And but Superman Returns was like
a
was supposed to be a sequel, was a part of the Richard Donner series, even though it wasn't.
Right. So it wasn't, but it follows that continuity.
It was like them cosplaying as them.
So it uses that song.
Yeah.
It uses that music, and then Man of Steel doesn't, which is fine. But then they use it in this. But this is not doing the thing. Well, first of all, it's like a guitar. We don't know if it's in the movie or not. It's in the trailer. But it's like a guitar, like,
yeah, an electric guitar.
Deconstruction of it.
Yeah.
But
then the full thing kind of kicks in.
Yeah. But it's not, this is not related to those movies. And I think this was something that Superman, people making any kind of Superman anything, grappled with, which is like, the music is so iconic. How do you not use it? And I think what I've been seeing the discourse say lately is, well, whenever we reboot James Bond, he gets to have the same theme.
Yeah.
Let's just accept that the John Williams theme is not just the score to that movie, but it's part of the whole deal with everything else. So I was so happy to hear the John Williams theme, because I think it is absolutely built into the iconography of it. But it's not going to have the problem with Superman Returns had, which is like, it's tied down by that continuity and being a sequel to that.
Yeah.
It can do what it wants to do.
Rachel Brosnahan is giving Margot here in the best way.
In a good, very good way, yeah.
I'm excited to see her do something other than Mrs. Maisel.
Yeah.
Because I know that she's really talented, but I feel like she hasn't had the opportunity to do anything else.
Yeah. I think she'll be really good. You know what I really like that I felt like is an interesting, not difference, but I was like, oh, that's interesting that they're doing that, is there's a very hot kiss in the trailer where you see Clark and Lois like really going at each other. Yeah. I was like, you know what? Good. Who doesn't want to? People like their romance. Lean into it. Make it sexy.
I will say though, like I was watching the trailer and I was like, is Clark supposed to be a dork because he's like the hottest person in the world?
No. Yeah. Right.
Like he's walking down the street with like his hot glasses.
And she seems to know already in this that he's Superman.
Okay.
In this narrative.
Well, I feel like she should also just be like, you're really fucking hot.
Yeah.
Like, well, I hope they don't play it as like he's a nerd and a square.
I don't think they will. I feel like more contemporary versions kind of treat him as like a well-meaning sort of hot guy that's too naive to know he's hot.
Okay, yeah.
Although people have been saying that the small change of having him have curly hair as Clark and straight hair as Superman is enough. Like, I've seen people online go, this is the first time I wouldn't know that that's Superman.
He does look very different.
Yeah. So,
it's, he straightens his hair. He gets a blowout.
Yeah. Yeah. What's interesting, there's no title in this.
Yeah, I noticed that.
They're like, you fucking know what this movie is.
I got...
motherfucker.
I got by YouTube because then I saw, like, oh, trailer number two.
Oh, don't
and order. I clicked it. And then about halfway through, I was like, why does this trailer feel so janky?
Was it AI? And then
it was... No.
It was just old footage of stuff?
It was just, like, recut.
Oh.
And then it was, like, our concept for trailer two. And I was like, who cares about your concept for trailer two?
Yeah.
I could tell it was off because it had that score, like, the... Heavy, like that. I don't know what that is, but it's, like, I always associate it with, like, really shitty, like, trailers that you see, like, before the real trailers start.
Yeah,
in the movies, and I was like, "This doesn't feel real."
Yeah, yeah. There's so much of that, and I'm like, if you do it for your own creativity, that's fun. But there are like whole accounts on social media that it seems like all they do is
try to fool people.
It's just like get clicks by lies,
and all they're doing is fooling the boomers.
Yeah, I know. And boomers are like, oh, this is gonna be great.
I can't wait for this Golden Girls reboot.
Yeah, I know.
Where only half of them are in old age makeup.
Yeah, it's sad. there does seem like there's too much going on. This is supposed to be a Superman movie.
Godzilla's in it, maybe?
No, not Godzilla, but there's a giant kaiju in it. But there's other Supergirl's in it. There's too much in it.
Oh, Supergirl's in it?
Yeah.
I didn't see her.
I don't think she's in the trailer. Okay. Hawk Girl. There's too much in it. There's too much.
Like Elon Musk is there as, I mean, Lex Luthor is there as the villain.
Or true. But the thing is, Lex Luthor is a genius. He didn't just buy things from other geniuses and then put in a contract that they can't call themselves the founders anymore.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll get to do that. That'd be
fun. He's not an absolute fuckface.
Yeah.
Lex Luthor is less of a fuckface than Elon Musk.
Because if Lex Luthor had a trans kid, he'd still love it.
He would.
You know what I mean? He'd be like, that's my trans kid. Only a true villain turns their back on their children. Anyway. So I am a little worried that there's too much going on. But the tone seems right. And, you know.
It seems like it's going to be funny.
And it seems like yes. And it seems like whereas the Zack Snyderverse was so... At that time... The Marvel Cinematic Universe was really cooking and hadn't hit its nadir yet. So they were really trying to do that. It seems like now that the Marvel Cinematic Universe is flailing, they're not quite going for that exact same thing.
Yeah.
Like James Gunn was like, we're building a world, but we're not building a story. Like Marvel, it was all one story, which is why everything after Endgame has been, even if it's good, no one gives a shit because you ended the narrative.
Right.
He's like, there isn't one big, huge bad guy. It's not doing that. But it is a shared world with different stories in it, which I think is a better way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how the comics do it.
So this is interesting. I didn't really think about this, but James Gunn and Guardians of the Galaxy is Marvel.
Yes.
So is this the first time there's been a crossover?
No, because he did the Suicide Squad, the second Suicide Squad movie. And
I forgot about both of those.
And then he did the spinoff show Peacemaker.
Okay.
Which was part of the Zack Snyderverse, but now he's grandfathering into his new universe.
Was the Suicide Squad, like, did they just say, like, let's do a do-over?
Basically. I mean, the first one counts. I mean, you can watch the... It's not like the first one didn't happen. But they just decided to just give it the same name, basically. But with doing it better.
Right, and with still Margot Robbie.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Interesting. So, and then she had her own spinoff movie.
Yes, she did. Birds of Prey.
Did that go... I didn't hear anything.
I liked it. Some DC stuff is good. The last Batman was good. The Penguin, not to sound like every one of your friends lately.
Yeah, but no, for real.
The fucking Penguin. I had, you know, a little bit of time off. Not to break about my lifestyle, but I had a little bit. I had a little bit of PTO. That's paid time off during the holiday season, and I was, you know, typically I'm like, let's watch a lot of movies, but I was like, you know what, let's catch up on shows and shit. So I was like, what's the hype? And I watched The Penguin, and the hype...
What's the tone?
...is real.
Is it like Batman, Sopranos?
No, it's not. Sopranos is... There's nothing like Sopranos. Sopranos is like high farce that's so farcical, it's serious and scary.
And a bunch of dumb people think it's...
Right.
Just get Whereas the wrong this message
is just
from.
Like interesting gangster drama. But Batman's not in it, and it's not fantastical. Like, there is plenty of times where, like, it could be like, oh, is this going to be someone I know? And it isn't, which is good. It's about this one guy.
Is it it's the Penguin of yore?
It's the Penguin.
Or is it a of different
the
version?
Of the Robert Pattinson Batman movie. Because he's in that movie.
I didn't know that.
It takes place after that movie.
Okay.
And Gotham City, at the end of that movie, the Riddler, who's a terrorist, like, blew up a lot of Gotham. So it sort of gets into the economic fallout of all violence and shit. But it's good, and it's got twists and turns. And I mean, he just won an Emmy for it. He, like, Colin Farrell is incredible under all that makeup. Like, it's great. So it was good. Yeah. So there are good DC things. It's not like there wasn't. Also, the Dark Knight trilogy was good. Like, it's not like everything DC did was bad, but I think a lot of the Snyderverse stuff didn't work. Although I liked Wonder Woman, you know. So
I didn't see Wonder Woman 1984.
I liked it.
I feel like a lot of people
didn't. A lot of people didn't. But it's funny, people didn't like it, and I gave both B pluses. Whereas people liked the first one more than I did, and people hated the second one more than I did. I was fond of them both.
Are they
going to
make another one of those?
No, I don't think so. I think I think she's done. I think they'll probably do another Wonder Woman.
You think they'll recast her?
Yeah.
Why? Just because she's too old?
No, just because this is a new universe.
Right. Oh, so that doesn't count.
Yeah. Yeah. Huh. Although, I mean, that was there were series of stuff that was all connected, and that's that. But they've also been, unlike Marvel, or Star Wars, they've been good at, like, saying some things don't connect. Like, the Joaquin Phoenix Joker movies aren't connected to anything. You know, it's not like...
I didn't realize
that Lady Gaga plays...
Harley Quinn.
Yeah.
I didn't realize those were, like, DC... Like, I knew they were DC, but I guess I didn't realize they were, like, actually DC movies.
They are, yeah. I didn't see that second one, but people say it was a real hot mess. God, I hated the first one. I really disliked the first one.
Yeah. Lady Gaga's career is really following Cher's career closely.
I just rewatched Mermaids.
Great fucking movie.
We watched it on New Year's Eve, not knowing that it fits as a New Year's Eve movie.
It does.
Because there's a big thing in New Year's Eve. Yeah, it is a good movie.
It's a great movie.
I totally forgot so much of it, though. Oh, I totally forgot the whole thing about Winona Ryder's character is like... super into Jesus.
Wanted to be a nun. Yeah.
And Cher is so kissing.
Good in it.
And she's so hot in it. She's the hottest in that movie.
Oh, let's play my favorite game. Who's the worst mother in the world? Let me guess. Is it me?
She's great in it.
Christina Ricci is so good in it.
Oh, she's adorable.
Oh, and then Winona Ryder slaps back.
I showed it to Jen for the first time, and she's like, that's her thing. She smacks people.
Oh, Jen had never seen Mermaids?
I know.
That's surprising to me.
I was surprised, too. She owns a Cher Barbie doll.
I'll tell you, I'm attracted to Bob Hoskins in that movie.
He is...
He's never looked better.
He He's a spry guy in that movie.
He's exuding sexuality.
Oh, when he's the fucking remember the Super Mario episode of How Did This Get Made, where Jason Mantzoukas is like, you know, Mario and his girlfriend are fucking like all the time.
Yeah.
You could just tell they've got one of those relationships.
Oh yeah, it's true.
Bob Hoskins was great.
He was great. I mean, that's just such a great movie. Yeah, Christina Ricci is so good in it. She's so cute, but she's such a good actress too.
Yeah, I know.
Her line delivery.
Yeah.
It's like, I love the part when they're like talking about all of the mom's boyfriends.
Yeah.
And she's like, and this guy took off his shirt right at the table. So I said to him, what is this? Some sort of nudist colony?
Yeah. That's such a good movie.
And the only other thing that Jake from 16 Candles has like ever been in.
Yes. Yeah. Not Matt Dillon.
Yeah.
Is who he is.
Yeah.
Bobo Matt Dillon. He's Wish Matt Dillon.
Sheen Matt Dillon.
All right. So the second trailer is The Day the Earth Blew Up, which came out of nowhere. And they keep saying this is a theatrical release. This is going to be in theaters. But is it really, though?
And better question, should it?
It's a Looney Tunes movie.
But without bugs.
Without bugs, which I think is not a bad choice.
It's bold.
And it also doesn't have humans in it, which is what they've been doing for a long time. Uh-huh. It's just a Looney Tunes movie.
But it's Daffy and Porky.
Which I don't
remember. Right? I don't remember them being close.
Yeah, and it sets it up like they've always been together.
And I guess that's the joke, is that they haven't?
I mean, in the Buck Rogers or the Duck Dodgers, I feel like they were together. But like outside of that, I don't remember them being together that often.
Yeah, I don't remember them being like
a duo. It looks funny. It looks cute. It looks in the tone. Like Patrick H. Willems did a video essay a while ago about like why Looney Tunes stuff doesn't work. I think it was after the second Space Jam. Mm. And it was like because they had a specific tone and they had specific characters. And we never try to replicate the tone. And we don't even let them be the characters.
Yeah.
They're just, it's like Hello Kitty. They're just these flat icons that we don't know anything about and we don't care to know anything about.
Yeah.
And this at least seems to be like, whoever wrote this seemed to watch the originals and be like, okay, that's the tone.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's even a part where like a guy in silhouette stands up in a movie theater and is like, what's this? Which is like always used to happen in the Looney Tunes stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's got that mania that made Looney Tunes good.
Yeah, well, it's... Yeah, like you've just like you just drank like 10 cups of coffee.
Yeah, like it's manic.
Insane.
It's
yeah, manic. It is manic.
That's the idea.
God, Space Jam 2, what a misguided movie.
Yeah.
Because like Space Jam 1 isn't even good, but it's just 90s kids love it. So it's got cult status.
Right. And it's just Looney Tunes.
And boy, did they just fuck it up.
Because they drank.
They made it Warner Brothers.
Yeah, they drank that multiverse Kool-Aid of like, well, why not have in everything ever? Why not have Rick and Morty in it?
Right. Batman. It's like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
And also, it was a weird move, too, to have LeBron James, who has a son who's famous,
have a fake son
and a different family.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God, that movie sucks. But I was going to say, I feel like everything that... Every Looney Tunes movie is always them in the real world with real actors.
Right.
So at least...
Which is what that canceled movie was supposed to be. Acme versus...
Right. And then what... But wasn't there one that was released with like Dharma? Or...
Oh, yeah. The Joe Dante one.
Yeah.
Looney Tunes Back in Action was with Steve Martin.
Yeah. Like just... At least this one is like... It's just an animated movie.
Yeah.
And it's 2D.
Yes. You know what? I appreciate it.
I don't know if it's going to be good, I'll be honest.
Who knows?
I don't think it's going to be good.
Who knows?
It didn't look very good from the trailer, but it could be.
Yeah.
I'm also not the target demo.
Right.
I'm sure it looks like it's for children, which it should be.
Yes. If it does, I mean, look, I'm sure we'll get some kind of theatrical release, whatever that means. I mean, it'll be in like...
But the fact that they were like on the big screen, I was like, really?
It's almost like...
Through Fathom Events?
Yeah, exactly. It's almost like, from watching the tone of this trailer, you're probably thinking this is a straight-to-streaming, but we assure you...
We assure you, this is going to be in theater.
This is a movie, my friends. And
The quality says otherwise. I know, but we're going for it.
Don't believe your peepers. This is a movie. So we'll see.
Yeah, they really do really emphasize that on the,
because they know.
Honest?
They know. Well, in this current media landscape, when a trailer comes out and you knew nothing about it, you can't help but be like, what is this? I mean, like that other, like, the conversation around Looney Tunes over the last couple of years was that Acme movie that some people said was really good, some people said was bad, will never come out.
Yeah.
And then where the fuck did this come from?
It's a secret movie, like Emilia Perez.
Like Emilia Perez, a secret movie. I haven't watched it yet.
I haven't either.
I've heard mixed things. I have to see for myself. But I will be honest. I'm a pop culture man child. I know a lot about this stuff. Did not know what that movie was until I watched the Golden Globes. I had not heard of it before then.
I've not seen it.
There's so many streaming movies. Yeah. How can you know them all?
I've heard that it is transphobic. I've heard that it uplifts the trans community. So I've heard like discourse on all sides.
It's a musical?
Yes.
See, the trailer does not betray that.
And I keep seeing the meme now is just like what sounds like horrible lyrics and people being like, this beat Wicked. But like, maybe if you watch the movie, is it like satire of a musical? That's my question.
Well, Golden Globes is... We were just talking about this the other day off the podcast, which I typically don't like to talk to you off the podcast.
Yeah.
But it's not the Hollywood Foreign Press anymore. It's some other version of it. But basically, it's not Americans voting. Right. So which is why like there's always these weird upsets where it's like movies that we didn't give a shit about, they care about. Like Mordecai. Remember when Mordecai won like best comedy or something? And people were like, the movie with Johnny Depp and a mustache won best...
Best picture, Mamma Mia, here we go again.
Yeah, so it's one of those things. Like, I don't think we're going to be seeing Emilia Perez at the Oscars.
You never know. Now, though,
it's
got that buzz. Strong winds behind it.
It's got that buzz. All right, let's talk about Hard Eyes.
Oh, man.
Starring the delectable Mason Gooding.
He's so gorge.
Hard Eyes is a... so it's a trailer for a new slasher film that is... Valentine's Day themed. It's coming out next month in February. The trailer cleverly begins as like we see like a meet cute between Mason Gooding and some other the female protagonist,
and it's between Mason Gooding and woman,
so whoever the hell.
We're really just blowing up Mason Gooding.
So I have no idea.
Some other woman who dares to share the screen with Mason Gooding.
And it's in Seattle. There's a meet cute. So the big trailer begins looking like a rom-com. And then she opens her closet and then there's a scary guy with like a mask and then like heart eyes that light up.
It looks like the emoji, the heart eyes emoji.
Oh.
Did you not get that?
Just got it right now, my friend. Just got it right now. Okay. It echoes like My Bloody Valentine and things like that. Yeah. But it looks fun. It looks like it doesn't kind of like going back to what I said about Superman. It doesn't look straight parody, but it looks like having fun with the slasher genre.
It looks like I was thinking you can always tell what tone they're trying to set by what they put as like from the makers of.
Yeah.
And they put from the producers of Scream.
Right.
And I was like, okay, so it's like Scream is kind of tongue in cheek and meta.
Yeah.
Feels like this is too, but turned up.
Yes. Yes. It seems to have a tone similar to something like Abigail or Megan.
Yeah.
By the way, I was like, what does that mean? I looked up all the producers, and one of the producers worked on the new Scream.
Exactly.
Not the original Scream.
They put that there because they want you to be like, oh, I like Scream.
No, that's the whole reason they do it. Yeah. Right. It's you like that? You like this?
Yeah.
It literally, cinematography-wise, looks good. It's good looking. It has the look of like a rom-com.
Yeah.
I like the way the killer looks. It looks like it's doing, you know, typically slasher movies are very short, limited time periods. It's like a day or two.
Yeah.
This, like, goes over years, and, like, there's a scene where, like, the killer's, like, walking in public and people are screaming. It seems to be just doing things that are different that you don't see typically in slasher movies. Devin Sawa. Is in it. You might remember him as real-life Casper. Casper,
former teen heartthrob Devin Sawa.
Yeah. He's also in every season of The Chucky Show. And plays a different character every season. Oh,
that's amazing.
The Chucky Show is, if you really want to have a great queer time, Chucky Show is the, is, and I mean this like as a, the highest praise, the gayest thing.
Well, remember on Netflix, it was like queer movies, and then it was like Cher from Burlesque, Chucky, and like it's just like the most bananas gay collection, gay icons, like put together the image, and I was like, "What the hell is this?"
It's incredible,
but also, yeah, it makes sense
because the creator of Chucky is like he just he 100% is into that. Anyway, Devin Sawa is in it as a cop. You hear "I Love You, Baby," a version of "I Love You, Baby." I'm getting, we've had about 10 years of this. I'm getting sick of.
I was just going to say.
The picking, I mean, it's.
The deconstructed popular song.
It's almost like they're too good at it now.
Yeah.
Like you take a song, you deconstruct it, you weave it into a score a little bit. And every like, trailer does this.
I love, like that. Yeah. And then it's like, it's so, I think the Guardians of the Galaxy trailer did it first. With the,
that might be,
with the Hooked on a Feeling.
Yeah.
And every trailer. Oh, you're, I think
that's
a
pretty
it.
Good. That might be right. Yeah. Yes, every trailer does it. Every trailer
it's
does
so
it.
Formulaic that, like, I feel like we're minutes away from seeing, like, people spoofing it.
Yes. Yeah.
It's just such a trope now.
I know. There's a funny part in this trailer where someone's like, "All right, have a good Valentine's Day. Don't get killed." And he's like, "What do you mean? Why would I say that?"
There's gore, some fun kills in the trailer.
Oh yeah, somebody gets like a heart. No, somebody gets their fucking
gets impaled.
Impaled
through their head.
Through their head, and then they open their mouth and you could see out the back of their head, and then you see like a heart form over it.
Yeah, it looks fun. Looks like a lot of fun.
It looks fun. We know Mason's good at this. He's in this last two Scream movies. I'm for it. I'm for it. We just talked about Black Christmas. You just saw Black Christmas for the first time.
I just killed.
You saw. You watched. You literally watched Black Christmas, and while you were watching it, they announced that the star of the movie had died.
It is so one of the eeriest experiences I've ever had.
That's a very weird thing. Because
I listened to your episode of Black Christmas,
yeah,
and I've never seen it, and I was like, let me watch this, and it was also made even weirder by the. Because it was Christmas.
Yes.
When I was watching Christmas. It.
Yes.
It was December 27th. So I'm watching this movie and I'm texting you, "Oh, this is really good." I'm like a half hour in. And then you text me back, "Oh, it was just announced she died." Yeah. Which is also crazy because she's known for Black Christmas and she died right around Christmas.
Yeah, I know.
It's like just so many layers of craziness.
I know. It was wild.
It is so crazy to be watching something for the first time and then find out that the star of the thing you're watching was just announced they passed while you were watching the movie.
I know. As you were watching the movie, Olivia Hussey took her last breath. No, probably not. She probably died earlier that day. And that's when the press release came out. But no, it's weird. That's a weird thing.
And that is a really good movie.
It's incredible. I love a good slasher. I just watched a bad slasher called It's a Wonderful Knife.
That sounds horrible.
It came out a few years ago. It's like a really low budget slasher with Justin Long. He does a lot of horror now. Where it's a slasher horror version of It's a Wonderful Life. Its one redeeming factor is every character in it's gay. Literally every character is gay. Okay. Politics are so weird. I love that the horror community is the most wholesome, open hearted. Like you go to a horror convention. And everybody has tattoos and is scary, but, like, is the nicest fucking person.
Yeah.
And, like, loves each other. Like, you go to fucking a church and everybody fucking hates you. It's
super tatted people, unless they're, like, scary bikers.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to the biker community. Are usually, like, the nicest people.
But anyway. All right. So let's take a break. We'll come back with Chosesh. Welcome back to PCMC. I'm Mike Bongiorno. I'm here still with Anthony Bongiorno. Anthony, this is the chill sesh. This is the sesh where we chill and we just talk about stuff. How what you've been chilling with, what you've been watching, what you've been reading, what you've been playing.
I have been not doing a rewatch because I never actually watched the whole thing the first time, but sure. I am chilling with Broad City.
Good for you.
Because
I was just thinking about doing a rewatch of that.
Yeah, it's so funny.
Yeah.
So I had like watched the first season or first two seasons like while it was first on, and then I like fell off for some reason. So I've just been watching them, and it's just like such a, it's so funny. It's so reliably funny.
Yes.
They're so short.
Yeah.
So it's just such so bingeable, and I also am having this weird experience where like, it's getting old enough now that it's kind of becoming a nostalgia.
Watch, yeah.
Because it is very much a product of like the mid 2010s.
Yeah.
Like the pre 2016, like Obama era when like we as millennials were still the young, cool ones.
Right. And weed was illegal.
Yeah. Yes. but also just the thing of like, you know, because the discourse changes, like millennials are not, we're not the young.
No,
we're
not young.
The youngest. Anymore. Right. But like Broad City Girls.
Yeah.
That era was like when we were the young, the new adults.
But it's so much better than Girls.
It's so much better than Girls. I do think that it's got a lot of common DNA with Girls.
Yes, for sure.
But it's so funny. And it's so, I love Lincoln so much.
He's my favorite.
He is so good.
The funny thing is, I love weddings the most.
I love weddings most of all.
He's so great.
He's just like the most wholesome.
Yeah, yeah. He's a dentist.
And I love their chemistry is so good.
Yeah.
It's so good. It's interesting that it's the same team that made Hacks.
It's the same team? Yeah. I know it's the same dude.
No, it's the same. His wife is Lucia Anello. Mm. She was the showrunner, I think, of both.
Because it's so, the tone's very different.
I mean, they're both comedies.
But also, I guess, I think Broad City was its own thing originally. Like, I think it was a two-woman, like, stage thing.
Yeah.
That Amy Poehler, like, discovered or was somehow involved.
She's the executive producer, I think.
So there's other DNA there. Yeah. No, it's so good. I also lost track of it for no other reason than the season ended and then I just forgot. I just didn't pick back up. I'm at a place, I don't know if it's just my short attention span or my flailing memory. I like have to binge things. Like if there's a show on and people are like, you gotta watch that show. And then I see that it's not all out and it's like week to week. I'll be like, all right, I'll catch up when it's over because I'm not going to watch it now. And then not know, unless it's like a Star Wars show that I'm super interested in, I'm not going to remember what happened last week. Like, I'm just not. And I'm not going to, that's why I hate cliffhangers because you create this unpleasant tension by not giving me any narrative conclusion. And then I just live with that because I don't even remember when we go back, I don't even, it's not like I'm like, ooh, I can't wait to finally know. Yeah, yeah. By the time we go back, I'm like, oh, yeah, that was a cliffhanger.
Yeah.
Left my mind.
Yeah.
All you did was give me displeasure. I really think in this day and age, cliffhanger endings are absurd.
Criminal. So I'm really enjoying it. I'm such an Abby. I think.
Abby's great. Yeah.
I have a friend who's, she loves Broad City, and she's, we were talking about it and then made me think because on her, we work together and on her desk, she has the, like the still of Alana going, how am I with the air quotes.
Yeah.
So we were talking about it and I was like, oh, I should rewatch that show. And she said, she was like, I really want to be an Alana, but I know in my heart I'm an Abby.
I feel like I'm an Alana.
Yeah. I think you're more of an Alana.
I definitely have had jobs and treated jobs the way she treats jobs.
Okay, I just watched the episode in season 3 when she finally gets fired from that job that she had from season 1 at Deals.
Yeah.
And then like the whole rest of the after she walks out, the whole rest of the office sings like the sister act song.
Yeah.
And then Whoopi Goldberg shows up in character. It's so good because they're just like so happy she's finally gone.
It's incredible.
By the way, what have you done for him lately? It's so good. I love the absurdism of it.
Yes, yes. What about that episode? I love the episode where, like, when Alana gets drunk, she goes to, like, a speakeasy.
Oh, yeah.
And she has this whole other life that she doesn't remember when she's not there. And Abby goes with her once.
Yeah.
And she's, like, singing. And she's like, it's so you're good. My favorite Jewy this side of St. Louis.
I love the running
joke. That's where the clerk, isn't that where the clerk
comes from? Yeah, that's been popular again.
Yeah.
I just actually rewatched that episode.
In the club.
In the club, we all fam.
Do you know those people? In the club, we all, are you a racist?
In the club, we are all family. Are you racist? You know, I just watched, it hurt a little bit, but I just watched the episode with Hillary Clinton.
I forgot
where,
about
where Alana, like, works for the Hillary campaign. Yeah, for And Cynthia Nixon plays her boss.
Yeah.
I'm surprised. I guess I shouldn't be surprised, but, like, I forgot that, like, Hillary's in it, but they make so many funny jokes about, like, misogyny.
Yeah.
And, like, Cynthia Nixon is like, remember, highlight the fact that she was Secretary of State and she was a senator. And then she's like, I remember, she's not a witch, in case people ask. And then Alana was like, who asked that? And Cynthia Nixon's like, every day, hundreds of people ask. And that's then they incredible. Show her, like, working the phones, and the guy next to her is on the phone. He's like, no, she's not a witch.
That's amazing.
It's amazing.
That's so funny.
It's just, yeah, it's working for me. It's really, really making me happy.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I want to rewatch it. In the club, we all fam. She's so great, Alana. She's
it's the also the, like, the running jokes, like the like the joke, but maybe not a joke, that she's in love with Abby.
Yes,
is so funny.
Yeah.
There's also, like, the running gag that, like, she always calls Abby, like, a mainline Philadelphia Jew. Oh, and her oh my God, Susie Essman is her mother.
Yeah. That's perfect it's casting. So good.
What the hell am I speaking Mandarin for?
What about the episode where, like, is it Abby, like, shits in the toilet and it won't go down?
Yes.
So she has to, like, pick it up and take it out.
It's so good.
Yeah, that was a fucking great show. That is a great show. Yeah. And they're both going on to do things.
Yeah. The one with the where she's babysitting the little boy and the mother is God, the mother's from The Office. Jan from The Office. The one from The Office and from Only Murders in the Building. She's like the really out of touch, like, rich mom.
Okay, yeah.
How very funky. So good.
The dog that looks like Judith Light.
Yeah,
that was a good show.
So that's what I'm chilling with.
You know what I just rewatched? 21 and 22 Jump Street.
Great movies.
You know what? They are.
Yeah, I thought you were going to go first the other
one. No, the first one's much better.
Yeah.
The second one has bright moments. Like, the second one has a better villain. The roommate girl who's constantly calling him old is a much funnier villain than, like, the weird gym teacher from the first movie. And the whole subplot about Schmidt fucking the captain's daughter, and that whole scene where he freaks out, he's like, oh my God, you shook his hand, you gave him a high five, he was talking to your face about fucking your daughter. That's great. But in general, one is a much stronger movie.
The best parts of two are the fact, like, when they make fun of that it's a retread.
Well, that's the problem. Two's it's the first one, other than the only real, like, meta scene is the scene where Nick Offerman's like, so it worked in the 80s and now we don't want to try it again. Whereas,
well, and then Johnny Depp, I mean, it's in universe, Johnny Depp and
yeah, but the second one, the whole way through, it's constantly looking at the camera.
Oh, yeah.
It's constantly going, oh, we're doing, like, the same shit would happen and they'd be like, yeah, let's do the exact same thing. The second one's not as good, but
also
they're
because,
both very good. And I wish there had been more.
Yeah.
I wish there really had been more because
there was supposed to be MIB 23.
Yeah. but there was also supposed to be a third one that was being worked on and then it didn't happen. And I guess they're both in different places.
Yeah.
Jonah Hill does a lot now and Channing Tatum, he does stuff, but he took like 5 years off.
Yeah.
Like, because his kids were little and stuff. So it doesn't seem possible now, but God, they're good, and they're just good. I don't know. They're feel good comedies. I don't know why. I love the dynamic between Channing Tatum and the nerds.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it's so good. App chemistry, bitch.
Yeah. He becomes like a nerd with them.
Well, that's, I think, what doesn't work in the second movie is they flip it so that the one who you would expect to be popular does become popular. So right. Nothing's subverted.
They flip the thing that had been flipped in the smart way.
Yeah.
Yeah. The thing in the first movie where Schmidt is like cool now and hanging out with the cool people and has the cool girl.
And I got to tell you, as a high school teacher, it really is true. Kids don't one strap their book bags anymore.
Why would you? It hurts your back.
That's not a thing. But God, it was such a thing for us.
It was.
You can't wear two straps.
You're just a nerd. What a herb you are. It's like, but do you want back problems your whole life? Of course you
had one strap book bags. And then if you're really cool, you just had one notebook that you carried around.
Yeah, man.
Fuck trying.
I know.
That's a line from the movie, remember? Look at him. He's trying.
A funny line from the second movie when he's like, do you know where I get some drugs? And he's like, oh, why don't you just go down to the station and go into the drug locker, you fucking narc.
Yeah. Well, that's the other joke of two is that like everybody knows they're not kids.
You look 40 years old.
You look like you're the cast of a show called Hawaiian Dads. She's just so good.
The villain is so good.
He sleeps with the
Captain's daughter.
Yeah. She's like, you're up all night. It was really loud, and I heard all of it. And she's like, that's cool. I hang out with my grandpa too.
And then when they're fighting, she keeps trying to kiss him, and he's like, what are you doing? She's like, are you trying to kiss me? He's like, no, that was never going to happen. You're making this so awkward. And then she keeps doing it. Also, one is a comedy that has action scenes in a kind of parody way. Like they'll subvert things. Like
I thought that was going to explode.
Yeah, exactly.
And then the chicken coop explodes. Yeah.
In the second one, there are genuine action scenes.
Yeah.
The second one feels like a Biblio's cop movie or something.
It is funny when they're like doing the chase.
Yeah.
And he's like, why would you drive through that building? All that stuff was so expensive.
Yeah,
they're driving. It's like a little helmet.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that he takes the human sexuality course. Yeah. He's like, I'm sorry, he took one intro to sexuality course. He thinks he's Harvey Milk. Did you know that I used homophobic slurs in high school? Yes, directed at me.
Yeah. The scene in the first movie where the mother's like neighbor or whatever comes over, the old lady's like, shut the fuck up. The fuck up. And then he
pushes her. This lady tried to touch my dick.
He pushes her into a pile of shoes.
The parents are so good.
Oh, yeah.
It looks like I died and you guys can't get over it.
It's just so funny. But no, it's funny. You know, I was thinking, not to sound... Not to be this guy, but I was thinking, like, this movie, people would be mad at this movie now.
Because they're cops.
Well, not even just the copaganda, but he hooks up with a high school girl. People would be like, oh, he's lying to her, and she's a teenage girl. Although
I do remember there's a line in it where she's like, I'm 18.
I know.
Yeah.
But
people
would still be mad at it.
Of course. But I think at the time, they put that in to be like, it's okay.
Yeah. The first one is really good.
Yeah.
I do wish there were more. Like, it's been a... I feel like it's been a while, unless I'm not thinking about it. I feel like it's been a while since there's been a comedy like that. I don't know. I don't miss all the Apatow wave.
Yeah.
And this was sort of like on the fringe of it. Apatow's not involved, but Jonah Hill is. But I guess I miss comedies.
Yeah.
That way. I don't know.
Yeah. God, you're right. I mean, I can't think of the last movie that came out that was like just a pure comedy.
They're just like, wow, that was such a funny movie.
Yeah. Well, because you can't say anything these days. Right? Well, I mean, 21 Jump Street is like largely unproblematic. So like, other than the thing you just pointed out.
Yeah, yeah.
So like that goes to show that you don't need to like punch down to be funny.
No, no.
It holds up. Like The Hangover does not.
No. But you know what? I was ahead of the curve. I didn't like The Hangover. I when I saw it, I was like, I don't like this.
I thought it was really funny. And then I feel like almost overnight it got old. Like, I feel like I watched it like 2 years later and I was like, oh, this didn't age well.
Super quick.
Yeah, and those are both horrible. Right. I saw both of them. They were both horrible. Horrible.
You know, we've talked on this show, and we might have even had an episode on this. Who knows? We've had so many episodes. But we've talked on the show about the idea of can a sequel ruin the original? No, that we did an episode. I think early on, I did an episode about can a sequel ruin the original? And we said no. And I still believe that. But I do get it. Because it's like a flavor. Like, sometimes there are things that have sequels that, like, people are like, you know, there's a Grease. Well, you love Grease 2. But so let
Grease 2 is so good.
Let me use a different example. There are things like Jaws. Like, no, everyone's like, Jaws is one of the best movies ever. Nobody, Jaws is not at all hampered down by the fact that it has three subpar sequels. Yeah. It's almost as if they don't exist.
Yeah.
But there are movies like Hangover where it's like the conversation inevitably, when you think of it, you think of all of them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Also, like, I think because they came out so close together.
Yeah. I mean, I also like, I just watched the last season of What We Do in the Shadows, and it was really bad. And I was like, damn. And then I went back and watched videos of like early episodes that were funny to be like, yeah, this show was good. Because I feel like sometimes the last flavor,
the last bite
does have an effect on you.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right. It does. It kind of depends on the franchise.
It's a, and it's, I mean, like, you, any individual person could be like, I like this movie. Who cares if there are sequels? Like, that's what I mean intellectually. But in a cultural thing, like, everything has a cultural sort of definition. So when I say Hangover, you think all of it.
Yeah.
The third one, they're in like Bangkok or whatever. Yeah. Like
no, that's the second one.
Or the second one. I thought the second one was...
No, the second one's Bangkok. The third one, they go back to Vegas.
Oh, okay. You know, like, it's it all... Yeah.
Yeah. But then there's like movies like, when I say like Mean Girls.
Yeah.
Like, nobody even knows that there was like a Mean Girls 2, technically.
Right. Right.
Well, that was... I mean, it was from the same studio. Even Tim Meadows was in it.
Right.
I mean, it was straight to video.
It was straight to video, yeah.
People will legitimately be like to Tina Fey, like, will you ever write a Mean Girls 2? And she'll be like, there is a Mean Girls 2.
But she's not involved in it.
No, not at all.
Yeah. So, well, I feel like those are easier to ignore.
Yeah.
Like, if the main cast isn't involved. Sequel
too.
Right.
Like that.
Right. But if I remember, that's not terrible.
Legally, there's a third
one. Oh, the third one.
Yeah.
Well, now they're making another third one, and they're like, here's the third one.
Yeah.
And it's like, but there was one. Yeah.
That's what I mean. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's how some things are just not associated with these shitty sequels, and others, it does, for some reason.
Yeah.
Maybe. Like, it's funny. Jaws, I feel like, was like that, because there's a joke in Back to the Future, too. Like, oh, Jaws 45. It was like, oh, they keep making Jaws movies. But maybe, now, I don't think anybody thinks about...
Maybe they rehabilitated it over the years.
By just, like, not...
Just forgetting it. Just be like, Jaws is the thing.
Yeah.
Nothing else matters. I'm sure you haven't, but have you seen any of the Skeleton Crew?
No.
That's the new Star Wars show that's kind of, like, inspired by Goonies. It's a kid's show.
Oh, yeah.
It's very good. It's very good. And I kind of like that...
When does it take place in the timeline?
After Return of the Jedi, like around the same time the other shows do, like Mandalorian and stuff.
Okay.
In between Return of the Jedi and Force Awakens. Some of these Star Wars shows are really bad. I thought Ahsoka was really bad. Obi-Wan had bright spots, but it was essentially bad. Boba Fett was really bad. Acolyte was basically bad. But this is really good, and Andor really good.
God, I can't, like, I didn't think about it until you just listed all of them. There's how so many there are.
There's just tons and tons, right?
God.
Yeah.
Why did they, it seemed like for a minute they were going to make a bunch of movies, and then they stopped.
After The Rise of Skywalker, they were like, we have to take a break from movies.
Because that movie sucks so bad.
Yeah, and the two movies before that were so divisive. Well, Solo wasn't divisive, but no one saw it because of how divisive The Last Jedi was.
I'm so upset that The Last Jedi is divisive.
Like, I know. I like The Last Jedi so good. I know. But it makes me sad that Rise of Skywalker sucks. Because it's like, you've got this whole series, and the last one doesn't just suck. It sucks.
That's one where it's like, it sucks so bad it makes the other ones worse.
Yes, I agree. Because you kind of... That's why I want them to make this Rey movie. Because I feel like let's give Rey what she deserved.
Yeah, I mean, what a flop. Like, I had so much hope after Force Awakens, and then I remember sitting in Rise of Skywalker, what's it called?
Last Jedi.
And legitimately thinking to myself, this is the best Star Wars movie ever made.
Yeah.
This is, and like, maybe that was just in the moment. I don't know if I still feel like that. But I remember, like, leaving the theater and being like, that was amazing. And then our brother being like, that was horrible.
Yeah.
And me immediately being like, oh, are people not going to like this?
Yeah. I remember being in The Last Jedi and feeling those feelings, those subversive feelings, like, oh, there's Luke. Is Luke, what's Luke going to do? And then when he throws a lightsaber, we're like, oh, I did not expect him to do that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But, like, feeling pleasure in that denial of pleasure.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing, and being like, oh, he's curmudgeonly. Like, that's an interesting thing.
Yeah.
Like her being nobody. Like, at first it was like, oh, who is it going to be? Is she Luke's daughter? Is whatever? And then when he was like, you're nobody, she's nobody. At first you're like, what? And then you're like, wait, this is like perfect. It actually makes it so much better.
Yeah.
And then they undo it in the next fucking movie. Like, no, you're Palpatine's granddaughter.
That's so ridiculous.
You could... Because
who was Anakin? Anakin was nobody.
Well, no, Anakin was fucking... It was made by the Force. I don't know.
Yeah, well, forget that.
Yeah, the
Midichlorians.
It got to, yeah. But anyway, it sucks because, like, the prequels, the two worst movies are Episode 2 and Episode 9. But at least Attack of the Clones is, like, its reach is further than its grasp.
Yeah.
Like, at least Lucas was a kind of artist who tried things and wanted to do things and failed. Whereas I'd always take that kind of bad movie over the kind of bad movie that The Rise of Skywalker is, which is just like pandering, you know, this is just like a McDonald's hamburger. We're just going to, because the last one upset you, we're just going to give you exactly what you want.
Yeah.
It's so cowardly.
Yeah, it really.
And so Star Wars was, the whole series was so inventive.
Yeah.
To end on this.
Such a shitty
note. Narratively cowardly thing.
All of it was cowardly. Chewbacca's dead. No, he's not. Like, it's come so.
On. Do anything. Yeah. Do anything.
You know what's so funny? You said that. Like, it's so funny because Attack of the Clones is like known to be like the worst one. Mm-hmm. And I just have a memory of, remember like when we used to go to Midnight Showings and you actually used to have to wait for midnight?
Yeah, yeah.
So I have a memory of going to school the next day exhausted and somebody being like, how was it? And me being like, fucking best movie I've ever seen. And it's because I was an idiot 15-year-old.
Right, of course.
I always think of that line from Big Mouth where it's like, of course it's going to be good. It's a movie.
Yes, of course.
That's every kid.
Well, it's sort of like boring and meanders for like 2 hours, and then there's a cool fight with Yoda, and you're like, whoa, Yoda's fighting.
Yeah.
And then you walk out like, that movie was fucking great.
Yeah. And I genuinely felt that way.
Yeah. I don't have 100% hate for the prequels. I don't. I see them very problematic. I see Attack of the Clones is really bad, but I think there are redeemable qualities of Episode 1 and Episode 3.
A lot of kids really love them.
Yes, they do. Yeah, they do. And they love the fucking Clone Wars, so, yeah. You know. But anyway, going back to what I was saying, like, Andor is, like, this very, like, prestige television, Mad Men, Sopranos-esque, like, very, like, nuanced, intellectual show in Star Wars. And that's fucking great. And then this is, like, a kiddie show, but it's so, like, lighthearted and joyful and whimsical. That fucking works. Like, I hope they look and go, look what works. The stuff that works is when we do different things that aren't directly related to the other movies, and we just, like, step a little bit out of the box and actually play in this world and look what happens. And look how different they are from one another. The two best Star Wars shows are so different from one another. Yeah, but it's... and Jude Law. Fantastic. He so good in Star Wars. I'm so glad he gets to be in Star Wars. What a hunk. I am straight, but I feel like all episode of... They don't even talk about how hot guys are.
It's when you're with me, we just talk about how hot guys are.
Yeah, let's take a break and we'll come back with our current obsessions. This is PCMC. This is Current Obsessions. We are here to tell you what we are currently obsessed with. Anthony, please, what are you currently obsessed with?
I feel like mine's kind of boring.
Okay.
You know I always have a great obsession.
Mm-hmm.
I think my obsession is still Wicked.
Hey, that's
And Oz in general. Good I've dipped a toe back in, and you're totally first, Oz-pilled. And now I'm back in. I'm Oz-pilled. I've been reading the books again.
Really?
Yeah. So I downloaded them all on my Kindle.
Was it like 25 cents for all 14 or something? Well,
they
like that?
Had those shitty versions, but I never wanted them because I need the illustrations.
Of course.
But
of
they
course.
Just maybe because Wicked came out, they just finally digitized them with the illustrations. Ooh. So I got that. So I've in the last couple weeks I've read the first three again.
I've only read the first one and liked it a lot.
Yeah, it's great. And then I was curious about exploring our parents' attic because I feel like I have the series in paperback.
Yeah,
that's no longer printed in that attic somewhere.
Yeah.
But I've just been like,
second two?
It's The Land of Oz
And
Ozma of Oz, which Ozma of Oz and The Land of Oz both have a lot of Return to Oz in them.
Okay,
Return to Oz is based on those two books.
Interesting.
Conflating the two characters into Dorothy.
Oh, I want to. They're probably like super quick, breezy reads. They're super too, right? Quick.
They're what's interesting is, so I've been just. This is what I mean. Like it's an obsession, truly, because it's been like I've just been like exploring, like falling down the rabbit hole, and I've been listening to Wicked nonstop. Interestingly, I didn't want to reread the Wicked book because I just remember not liking it.
Uh-huh.
But that's a whole series too.
Those seem interesting to me. I've thought about reading them.
But they're really. I remember.
I know they're very different.
I know not one person who actually likes the Wicked book.
Really?
Yeah, like everybody who's read it is like, it's okay.
Mm.
It was just like a good tool to be adapted.
Uh-huh.
Gore Vidal was a big Oz fan when he was a kid.
Yeah, okay.
Because, of course. And he wrote an article in, I want to say, The New Yorker or something, like in the 70s, where he was like, as an adult, reread them and was talking like and analyzing them. And it is interesting. He makes some interesting points. They are very inconsistent.
Mm-hmm.
Especially there's a huge shift in tone between the first book and the second book, because the first book was a wild success and it is truly written as a children's storybook. And then it became a very successful stage play. And L. Frank Baum always wanted to like work in the theater. Truly.
Right.
Like that was his true passion.
Yeah.
So the second book is written like in a vaudevillian style where it's like he was planning on it just being adapted to the stage right away. And so there's like an army of girls, which like, you know, would be the chorus.
Right.
There's like. Even parts where, like, you could tell, like, there would be songs here and there. Yeah. It's very, like, oh, this was, like, he was setting up to, like, adapt this. It's, like, a spectacular on the stage.
He did produce early silent films.
Yeah, he was really into theater into that and stuff, film.
Yeah.
Like, I did a book report on him when I was in, like, fourth grade. So I don't remember much of it, but I do know that he always wanted to be in film and theater, and he never quite made it.
Mm.
And there's some evidence to suggest that he was resentful of the fact that he was just kind of bound to writing kids' books because they were so unbelievably popular.
Yeah.
And they were his bread and butter, and he always wanted to branch out and do more.
Did he do any other books?
He did do other books. But the one Wizard of Oz, the original Wizard of Oz stage play, was super successful. And then every other attempt he ever did was a huge flop and failure.
Did he produce that stage?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And I think he helped adapt it too. And there were two well-known comedians who like did vaudeville who played the Tin Man and the Scarecrow.
Uh-huh.
So the Tin Man and the Scarecrow are the main characters of the second book because he was like, we're going to get those same actors back.
He thought he was just setting
exactly.
it up. Exactly.
Oh, okay. Yeah. The lion's not in it. Dorothy's not in it.
Really?
It's just Tip, who becomes Ozma.
Uh-huh.
Weird gender stuff there.
Yeah, I've heard.
Because Mombi transforms Ozma into a boy to hide her identity.
Yeah.
And there's this weird, it's weird. And then a lot of gender stuff in the second one. There's an army of girls who are like, it's time that women take over Oz.
Yeah, I've heard that, yeah.
So they like chase the Scarecrow out of the Emerald City because the Scarecrow became king.
Yeah.
But it's mostly the Tin Man and the Scarecrow. And the Tin Man is referred to throughout the second book almost exclusively as Nick Chopper, which I think is from the play adaptation where he had a name.
Fascinating.
Not Bach.
Right.
Bach. But Bic, Nick Chopper.
No, this isn't boring at all. This is fascinating. And I'm so fascinated with it.
I rewatched the MGM, the classic. I've been very back into Oz lately.
Good.
As the whole world is, really.
Yeah. Is there consistent, political allegory in the other books besides the first one?
So that's not real.
Okay.
That's another thing that's...
It's just a critical read of them, but not something he was thinking
Wizard of.
Wizard
of Oz here. Yeah. And yeah, so I don't mean to say it's not real, because I do believe
it's not his intention.
But it wasn't his intention. No, it was actually, we know who thought of that, and it was actually a history professor who wanted to make his class more interesting. So he thought through a way of making it line up with the story of the Wizard of Oz. And then it was became a really popular class. So then he wrote a few papers on it. Mm. And then afterwards, people started conflating it and being like, oh, L. Frank Baum was making this political commentary about the gold standard. Right. But no.
Well, the same thing happens with J.R.R. Tolkien. Like, people are like, oh, I see. The Two Towers. That's Japan and Germany. And he's like, no.
I thought you were going to say the Twin Towers. No. 9/11.
Like, he constantly, would anyone ever said anything in terms of allegory, J.R.R. Tolkien would be like, no. It's about hobbits.
Well, wasn't he also Christian? No, that's C.S. Lewis.
I think he was Christian, but not like C.S. Lewis.
C.S. Lewis was his mentee, wasn't he?
No, they were.
Or contemporaries.
They were contemporaries. They were both professors at Oxford.
Okay, yeah.
I think C.S. Lewis was an English professor, and Tolkien was a linguistics professor. Okay. And they drank together.
And made love, probably.
Don't start that rumor. the post-structural thing would be like, well, maybe he wasn't thinking about it, but these are the ideas that were swirling around that time. Well, the idea of a false leader.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing about Oz that I find fascinating, that I've gay, so of course I've always loved Wizard of Oz. First of all, that's a whole thing too.
I'm shocked.
I could do a whole podcast on that, and I'm sure somebody's written. Why are so many gay people attracted to Oz?
Tell me.
I don't know.
Here's my question.
Does
it work backwards from the film? Or even without... Or
did the movie turn me gay?
Oh, no. I mean, the fandom. Without the Judy Garland film, would Oz still be a big gay thing? Or is it because of that?
I think so, because like I just said, Gore Vidal was a huge Oz fan when he was a kid. So those books were really popular.
What is it?
I don't know. And it's almost like a social experiment. You and I were both shown that movie as children, but only I became obsessed with it. You liked it.
Yeah.
But it became my personality for 5 years.
Right.
And it's always been my thing. Yeah. And then it's of course he's gay. He likes The Wizard of Oz. I don't know why it's a thing. Maybe something about the fantasy land of it all. I don't know.
But you don't give a shit about things like other fantasy you don't give a shit about.
That's the thing that I actually was just having this conversation the other day with somebody else. I was like, I still enjoy these books, but I don't like anything else that's fantasy.
Interesting.
But what I was going to say...
Well, I mean, look it up. There's got to be dissertations on this.
Yeah, I'm sure. What I was going to say is, what's interesting about The Wizard of Oz is that it was written to be an American fairy tale. He specifically was, we don't have a fairy tale. We don't have a national fairy tale. I'm going to make a national fairy tale about a little girl from a farm, from the middle of the country. And this is going to be our fairy tale.
It's a lot like Alice in Wonderland.
It's very much like the American Alice in Wonderland. Yeah. But the thing is, in the grand tradition since then, I feel like so much of American identity and history is wrapped up in The Wizard of Oz. I just watched a TikTok where somebody was like, so there was this woman who was really qualified and she was really powerful. And this guy who's a fraud rose to power. So in order to keep her from taking over, he had everyone turn against her so he could stay in power. And a part of it was because she had green skin or a different color skin. And she's by the way, that's the plot of Wicked. So it's just it's so many times I feel like The Wizard of Oz is like odd, And Oz lore is like oddly timely and oddly reflective of America.
Interesting.
And then I also went down a rabbit hole where,
well, you've got like a fantasy land, and then you've got a government that comes from without, that's not grassroots. It comes, he comes from another place and creates and a government on top of something that's naturally there.
Right. Which is colonization. But what I was going to say is also, and I know I'm all over the place. So Cynthia Erivo is a brilliant Elphaba. I think she's amazing. I read an interesting article, though, with a take that I hadn't heard before, which is that the unofficial tradition of Elphaba was that Elphaba was played by Jewish actresses. And that basically this take that this person had was that the Elphaba of the show is coded Jewish.
Interesting.
But the Elphaba of the movie is coded black.
Right. And I feel like that's what it's going to be from now on.
Right. It's an interesting, I never thought of it before.
Yes, but yeah.
But I think also like witches are kind of coded Jewish.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. No, that actually makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah.
But like that, the story of, I mean, again, reflective of the American story.
Right.
So that's my obsession.
That's a great obsession.
And the soundtrack slaps, and I can't wait for part two.
Oh, yeah. I've seen it.
You've seen it way more than I have. Three and a half times.
One time we walked
three
out.
Three and a half. Why'd you walk out?
Because Jen was sick. And it was also a sing-along, and our audience sucked. And I said it out loud. I was like, this audience sucks. And Jen was like, stop.
They weren't singing?
They were not singing.
What's the point?
Exactly. This movie's been out 2 months. Why would you come here and not sing? So we left. We left after Popular. We were like, we got away from Popular.
Yeah, of course.
No, it's incredible. It's the best movie of the year.
It really is.
Come on.
What do you think of... I think that now it's another... I watch too much TikTok. But another TikTok I watched was like, just so you know, we're only 6 months away from people being like, you know what? Wicked actually wasn't that good.
Oh, yeah.
And people tearing it down.
Sure.
And I've already seen some of it. Like, a big thing that I've been seeing a lot of recently is people being like, that movie's so overlit. Like, the colors are so desaturated. And they're like, it's supposed to be Oz.
Fuck off. That movie's fantastic.
It's a great
film. It's great. God damn it. What I'm really interested in is two, because I feel like the fidelity of the first one is not going to be there in two. There's going to be new songs. Mm-hmm. There's going to, I think, be expanded narrative.
What if for the second one, they're like, this time around, Ariana Grande is playing Elphaba and Cynthia Erivo is playing Glinda. And they just totally...
brilliant.
Imagine. They're like, that's the big secret.
That would never happen. But that is interesting. I wonder if they've ever done a stage production like that.
They could.
That would be interesting. But yeah, I'm excited about two, and it's very good. It's very good.
I mean, I just, not to belabor the point, it's just so good. Like I saw it in the theater twice, and the first time I was just like, this is amazing. And I've seen the show a few times. But the second time when I actually went with Janine and her little son, and we made a day of it. It was really fun. Mm. I got chills in the beginning when you hear Glinda's voice.
Yeah.
And she's like, according to the dragon clock, the hour is 13. Female child spilled a bucket of water.
Yeah.
It's just so, it's like, it starts on a crime scene.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Oh, it's such an evocative beginning.
It's so good.
I love the musical homages to old things. Like in the She's Dead song, you could hear dun, 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 dun.
Yeah. All the Easter eggs are so fun. Did you hear John Chu said that during No One Wards the Wicked, if you look closely, Dorothy's house is in the background in Munchkin Land. Yeah.
Right, because it would be, right?
Yeah.
Because it's after. Like she says, like, I've much to do with the the sudden departure of the
I was not expecting to see the four of them walking down the Yellowbrook Road in the beginning, and I screamed.
That was in the trailer, so I was expecting it.
I don't know why I wasn't, but and also the title card looking like the Wizard of Oz.
There's also some theorizing that they're in the second one, which they're not in the play. Like they said, there's some young girl who was cast that they think is Dorothy.
I don't know. That might be rumor.
Who knows?
I saw another Easter egg, which is You know, on the when they burn her in effigy,
yeah,
there's three white pieces of wood that say kill the witch.
Yeah.
In the original MGM Wizard of Oz, when the house lands, three pieces of wood from Dorothy's house fall off. Are off. So it's those three pieces of wood from Dorothy's house.
Interesting. You know, there's that image, that painted poster, the propaganda poster of Elphaba. And to me, it looks so racist. It reminds me, like on purpose. Like,
oh, yeah.
It reminds me of like racist cartoons from like those. Like to me, like.
She looks scary.
She looks so scary. And I feel like.
And her claws are up.
Yeah. I feel like, I was like, this is like some real old fashioned racist shit.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's so good. All right. My obsession is I don't have TikTok anymore, so I don't know if it's TikTok, but I've been watching it, I think, on YouTube. It's called At Court Cam Room.
Okay.
Have you ever seen these things? They're just, you know, they record cases. So sometimes like they make like reels or TikToks or whatever of like just cases.
Is it the ones that are on Zoom? I've seen a lot of like recorded
court cases
on Zoom.
Some of the this is actually in the place, and it's I especially like the ones with Judge David Fleischer. So this guy, he kind of has a very almost like a dandiness to him. He's got like colorful glasses. Even though he's the judge, he's not wearing a robe. He's usually wearing like very bright like he wears a lot of bow ties. He wears like a lot of bracelets. He has like a maroon suit or like a bright yellow suit with stripes. Like he's like constantly popping. But then he's also like very, very – why people like him and why he's the best one is because he's super for the people.
Mm.
And the best clips are when he throws things out for not having probable cause. Like there's one – there's two really great ones. There's one where they're like, he's like, what's the, and they found like drugs on this kid, but it was like, what was the probable cause? And they were like, unlawful, it was some jargon. It was like unlawful transportation by foot. And the judge is like, what are you talking about? And they were like, we believe he crossed where he should not have. And he was like, jaywalking? So jaywalking is why you stopped him. So he was just walking while black. He says that a bunch.
So because he was jaywalking,
they stopped him and he had found drugs on him.
So they said he was illegal transportation.
No, it's not illegal transportation, but like he's like transporting drugs. But the probable cause to make them search him was that he jaywalked.
Oh, okay.
That's why we stopped him in the first place. That's why the judge was like, so he was walking while black. Yeah. And he was like, this is ridiculous, and he threw it out.
Jaywalking was just decriminalized in New York City, by the way.
For that reason, because they use it for bullshit.
Yeah.
He's like, there's another one where there's a group of the defendant there was part of a group that was arrested. And the DA is like, or the prosecutors are like, the group had a gun, and the judge is like, wait. Only one individual can have a gun. A group can't have a gun. Did this guy have the gun? And like, no, he didn't have the gun. He was like, okay, so he didn't have a gun. What was your probable cause for searching him? And they were like, well, he ran away. And he was like, well, why did he run away? And they're like, because we were going to search him. And he was like, so you went up to the other guy who had a gun and he was doing what? And they're like, he was standing there. He was like, so he was standing while black. And he was like, no. And he threw it out. And those are the videos that are really fucking great.
That's super interesting.
And he's so it.
Are these like on Court TV or like?
No, I mean there's no such thing as that anymore. it's.
Have you ever seen the court cases with people who claim that they're sovereign citizens?
No.
Okay, so it's like a whole thing, and it sounds like this. A lot of them are over Zoom because a lot of them are over like. For now, like a lot of like petty things you could do court over Zoom. There's like a fringe movement of crazy people who are like, I'm a sovereign citizen. I don't have to follow the law. I'm not a citizen of the United States. I renounced my. It's this thing where like you join this movement, air quotes, Which, I mean, it is a real movement, but it's not real in that it's not legitimate.
Yeah.
Where, like, you renounce your citizenship and then these people believe they don't have to pay taxes, they don't have to follow laws, because they're like, I am a citizen of the earth. I'm not a citizen of the United States. Okay. And a lot of them are crazy, obviously. Sure. So, like, the judge will be like, no, you're an American. You follow the laws. And they're like, no, I am a sovereign citizen. I have this certificate. And, like, you could get, like, a janky certificate from online that says you're a and the judges will be like, that is a piece of shit. Like, you would need to follow the law. They're really interesting because it's just, like, a lot of them just devolve into, like, judges yelling at crazy people.
Yeah, yeah. I like that stuff, too. Yeah. I like that stuff, too. But what I like this guy for is, first, his fashion sense.
What's his name?
David Fleischer.
Dave, I gotta look him up.
His fashion sense and the fact that he likes to throw out... He likes to really investigate probable cause. Because...
He's dapper.
Despite people saying that they care about the amendments and they care about the Second Amendment... No one gives a shit about the Fourth Amendment, and it gets broken constantly by the police. So he's really good. And he's not like some big liberal dude. Like, you see him be hard on people too, but he also just like, he doesn't just allow any bullshit case to come in front of him. It's very interesting.
He is an American judge currently serving on the Harris County Criminal Court in Texas. This is one of those counties where you have to run to be a judge. He was elected running as a Democrat in 2018 and won re-election in 2022. Fleischer is popular online for his unique style of holding defendants accountable while offering guidance.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
It's interesting.
Yeah, he'll be like, why did you do this? He'll be like, you're here for the... This is your third case. What are you doing with your life?
Yeah. Some defense attorneys have criticized Fleischer for, quote, playing to the camera when live streaming his cases.
So what?
Interesting.
Who cares?
All right, that's a true obsession because it's pretty niche.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. But that's what's going on. Well, we did it, Anthony. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
We end every episode by saying,
"Go bye bye."